So continuing on the theme awakening Nama Rasa based on Rupa Goswami's teaching from Nectar of Instruction, Upadesh Amrita. Here's a nice image. A lotus and the reflection of the lotus on rippling water. And at least for this morning's class, this morning's class, the visual impression is there's the name and there's the reflection of the name. And because of the rippling of the water, attention goes to the rippling effect, Namavas, compared to Shuddha Nam. And this nectar of instruction, verse number 7, teaches us from going from Namavas to Shuddha Nam. And the advice that we're going to be discussing, that particular topic is chanting carefully, because within the verse there's this chanting carefully, and then one can go from this beginning stages of chanting, beginning stages of bhakti abhas, to shuddha bhakti, or namabhas to shuddha nam. And the goal? There he is at the end of the goal. There's our reunion with Krishna, again being fully immersed in our relationship with Krishna. And the giver of that method and all the teachings that go with the method, the Sambandha Gyan and so forth, that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's his gift to the world, which he wants us to receive, and Rupa Goswami is helping us to understand how to receive. We just have to hear and then bring inside his nice instructions. So here's this nice instruction again from Rupa Goswami, Upadesha Amrita. Let us chant again.
Syat Krishna Nami Naratadi Sitapya Vidya Hito patapta rasanasya garochikano kintvadarad anudinam kalu saiva chushta svadvi kamad bhavatitad gadamulahantri.
And I made in big letters this word adarad, which Prabhupada has translated as chanting carefully. The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. A little image taken from Sachinandan Swami. Maybe some of the persons in this room or who will be viewing or hearing the recording attended his New Vrindavan something or other anniversary, 40th anniversary or something, function on Mother's Day weekend. And he led a japa retreat or japa seminar or japa experience. And he sent out this little newsletter that has this image. One of his devotees, I assume, made this painting for him. It's the waves of the ocean of the holy name. Because Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, we heard this morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the chanting of the holy name takes us into this Ambudi, this ocean of Amrita, ocean of nectar, or ocean of ananda. And here's an image of Satchinandan Swami. And in this newsletter, we're going to be covering just a few of these, but for years and years and years, he's been conducting seminars and retreats and all kinds of things on the holy name, and he's distilled it down to five sections or elements. So the first is alignment. He likes talking about this. Alignment of body, mind, and heart, one by one, and then aligning them. Sambandha follows alignment, chanting with a sense of relationship, sambandha. And then there's a mood, which we've been speaking about, we spoke about this morning. Seva, the chanting in the mood of service, specific mood of service to nami and nama. And then is that mood of service moves, matures, it becomes a hankering, an intense hankering to be with the object, the person. And, you know, that gap that between what we know and where we are, that one, big gap. So hankering to bridge the gap, hankering to be connected with Krishna every moment. And dedication of the self, sharanagati. So we're going to be speaking on several of these during this time together. And the intention, this midday class or late morning class, is to focus on the chanting carefully part of Rupa Goswami's teaching. As he says, simply by chanting carefully these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue. So it's a taste for the holy name, the taste for the sweetness of the holy name, which we don't have, or many of us don't have and would like to have. We'd like to go beyond the mechanical into the what's beyond mechanical, the taste for the holy name. We would like that. So the intention for this session is to look at that chanting carefully message from Rupa Goswami from different angles. And we're going to start with a very nice verse that just happens to be in your handout sheet too, on page 9. It's an instruction from Krishna to Uddhava, found in the Uddhava Gita section, Canto 11. In this case, it's chapter 11, text 47. And I think I'm just going to read it. You can read along if you like. Just listen. One who executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and thus who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me by the excellent quality of his service. Such a worshiper obtains realization, realized knowledge of me. Now we heard in the morning about getting knowledge of Krishna. We can understand Krishna by the mode of service to the holy name. So the commentary is specific to the performance of sacrifice and pious works. In this case, means transcendental. It's a detail, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's material, there's spiritual, and there's transcendental. pious activities. Material pious activities means opening, digging wells and planting trees by the side of the road, traditional piety. The neutrality kind of piety, the impersonal kind of piety, is from scripture, chanting of Om and study of Vedanta Sutra to try to understand Brahman. And that's the neutrality kind. And then there's the transcendental kind, and that's rendering service that's for the pleasure of Krishna. So chanting can be done with this intention, that intention, or the other intention. So this pious activity, chanting with the intention of being in one's relationship with Krishna, awakening and being in one's relationship with Krishna with fixed attention. The with fixed attention is a major part of why selecting this verse, having to do with carefully chanting with fixed attention. So purport. The word ishta putrena, which means sacrificial performances and pious works, does not indicate deviation from pure devotional service to the Lord. Lord Krishna or Vishnu is called yajna, or the Lord of Sacrifice. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam, I'm the actual enjoyer of all sacrifice. The highest sacrifice is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realize knowledge of the absolute truth. Here we are again, this carefully chanting. A realized devotee is very attentive in his devotional service, taking it as his life and soul. That's another way of saying carefully chanting. He keeps himself fit for devotional service. Going to explore that a little bit further. By constantly worshiping and glorifying the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. That's how you keep yourself fit. Such Harinam, Sankirtan, and Guru Puja are the only practical methods. Practical ways of carefully chanting, by which one can achieve pure devotional service. When Hari Kirtana is expanded, it is called Krishna Sankirtana. One should not dry up by performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage with all enthusiasm. We're going to spend some time on enthusiasm. In the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of human life. So just taking this and breaking it into parts. Nijasarva Shaktis. We hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastaka, the second verse of Shikshastaka. Within each and every name, Krishna has so many names. Nam nam akari bahuda. So many names, like Krishna, Govinda, etc. And in each and every one of these names, Nijasarva Shaktis, he's invested all of his spiritual potencies. So we spoke about this morning approaching the name in the mood of service to the name. so that our natural, innate, already existing within the heart attraction for serving Krishna awakens by serving the name of Krishna. So no doubt, within the name there's immense potency. But supposing there's some jewels in a treasure chest and you don't have the key. You know there's jewels in the, you know there's jewels in the treasure chest. And you try to stick a dynamite or whatever to get, you know, break open the treasure chest and it doesn't break open. But supposing somebody gives you the key, and that's the only way to get in. And then once you're in, you have the access to all that treasure of the jewels in the treasure chest. So the giver of the name, the part of this carefully chanting is to recognize the giver of the name, the deliverer of the name. We serve the name and we need to recognize there's a deliverer of the name, and the deliverer of the name can give the key to get the treasure of the unlimited transcendental potencies. Now Krishna stands alone. Krishna is fully independent. He doesn't need anybody or anything. However, it's part of Krishna's divine arrangement that we approach him, just as that last question, can we approach the name directly? We approach him through mercy. Remember that slide? Prabhupada Kripa. And then endeavor. We have to endeavor to chant, but we also need this submission to the mercy that's coming. And the mercy goes not to, so to speak, the process, because much of our attention goes to the process and not to the name or to the deliverer of the name. So this session is to give emphasis to the deliverer of the name. And with the deliverer of the name, then as we heard, the holy name comes to give benefit to the devotee and to everybody from this morning's song, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur song. But then, who is the deliverer of the name? And it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and or his representatives in disciplic succession. And it's very special to receive the name in disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as opposed to reading it in a book somewhere, or somebody, something at a yoga studio, somebody hears the name. My first hearing of the name, interestingly, just dates me, but there was a Broadway musical when I was in college named Hair, not Hare. Hair, H-A-I-R. It was a parody on the counterculture with big hair, people with big hair. And so part of the Broadway musical was they put people with skull caps on, a little thing sticking out in the back, and musical instruments, and on stage, on Broadway stage, they would chant Hare Krishna. It was part of the counterculture era. We were right in the center. We were on Broadway, at least actors. And it was one of the things that the Hare Krishna devotees did at that time. Wherever the musical Hair was performed, the devotees would be outside when everybody got out and chant Hare Krishna, jump up and down and give out Back to Godhead magazines. People, almost everybody took a Back to Godhead magazine with that, just having experienced on Broadway the Hare Krishna mantra. So I didn't know what it was. But somehow, is the only thing I can deduce is in a previous lifetime there was some exposure. So I used to go to the music room in the Norton Student Union building, fourth floor, go check out the Hair album, go into one of the music rooms and play just that song, like many times and then check it back and go on and do my homework. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know Hare Krishna anything, people, movement. I just was attracted. So even such people, it's certainly abhas at best. But you know, they weren't making fun. It was musical. That's another. Sankecha Namabhas. This particular variety of Namabhas. And the deliverer of that, which they were the musical performance of, was Lord Chaitanya. And that brings about, again, the image you can't see so well, but that's an ear. And the sound of Krishna goes into the ear. And that's how Namarasa can be awakened. Because it's already there, just inside that little treasure house. It's one of the jewels. So we receive through disciplic succession, and we should be eager to receive through disciplic succession. Another very nice image. Of course, this is for Prabhupada disciples, but also for anybody in ISKCON. Put somebody in between Prabhupada and the person who's chanting. It happens to be a photograph of a god sister of mine. But Krishna's name descends in this world through the deliverer of the name. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, it's not that it didn't exist before. Sometimes this question is asked. Did people chant before? Well, of course they chanted before. We know even in Satyuga, Dhruva Maharaj, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. But the deliverer of the name makes a huge difference because Narada gave him the mantra and therefore it had efficacy, fullness of efficacy. Not that if you chant some other way, hear the musical hair, you won't get any benefit. But the deliverer, very important. And for us to go and encourage others, as we heard from the song that we sang, that it's a measure of devotion is to receive and then to give. Exactly as Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta. Take this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give it to the English-speaking people of the world, for by so doing it'll be good for you and good for them. Giving is good for us and good for whoever is the recipient. The effectiveness of that is, as was discussed this morning, directly in relation to purity. But purity isn't just purity for purity's sake. Purity is that Krishna should be pleased. And that Krishna is pleased by pleasing those who are representing Krishna. That's his system. And it's a lovely system. It's a very natural system. And it's his system. And so the giver of the name is an important person for us to pray to. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're going to hear this evening about Haridas Thakur saying in Harinam Chintamani, chapter 12, to Lord Chaitanya, he's speaking to Lord Chaitanya, that without your mercy, one cannot get beyond offensive chanting. I'll say it again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without your mercy, one cannot get beyond offensive chanting. So, the deliverer of the name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the disciplic succession, particularly, of course, our exalted acharyas, Rupa Goswami and others, but those who give us the name. In the verse, we can draw your attention to page number 9, 11:11:47, it speaks of with fixed attention. One who worships me with fixed attention. And down in the purport, a realized devotee is very attentive. So this attentiveness is practically synonymous with carefully chanting. And one of the ways to try careful chanting is one mantra at a time. On the wall over there is, no, somewhere, is this nine keys. Oh, it's over there, nine keys. The first one is one mantra at a time. Or as we heard this morning, taking this nice message of Mother Teresa, love doesn't have to be something extravagant. It can be a small thing. But within that small thing, there's power. And the power of love is transformative. So even the small thing of trying to chant one name with rapt attention. And when we chant with rapt attention, we're connected with Krishna. We're connected with Krishna dully, or like, you know, the sun that's shining, but there's clouds in the sky, and then you don't get all the heat and light. When it's a cloudless sky, then you get the direct sunlight. So same, when the heart is pure, spoke this morning something about purity, when the heart is pure, then all the rays of the holy name, the fullness of the holy name, can be experienced. I'm going to say something a little conversely. Here's an interesting statement from this gentleman who visited on behalf of the British government, Macaulay, visited to find out what's the best way to control India. So Lord Macaulay's address, 1835. I have traveled across the length and breadth of India and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief, such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose Kali's plan. We replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. I don't know how they got the verbatim recording, maybe a stenographer or something. So, conversely, the Hare Krishna movement has the interest of Mission Impossible in one sense, but systematic propagation, systematic cultivation of spiritual culture in a land that has had its backbone broken. And for this reason, Srila Prabhupada established as pillars this book distribution and the chanting of the holy name. Now, another element in this 11-11-47, we're back on page 9 again of your handout sheet. In the purport, it speaks of, he keeps himself fit for devotional service by constantly worshiping and glorifying the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. So, what's the importance of those lotus feet? Well, lotus feet, transcendental lotus feet, are luminous, and they, when placed in the heart, they illuminate the heart. Krishna's lotus feet, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, we say every morning when we greet the deities. One anga, or one limb, of Krishna can do the same thing any other limb of Krishna can do. They're interchangeable parts. His body is transcendental. He can eat with his ears or with his eyes. We can't. He can't. Any one of his, so his lotus feet are like him. The lotus feet are luminous. And you place the lotus feet of Krishna in your heart, and you worship the lotus feet with great devotion to keep your spiritual life fit, and the heart becomes illumined. And at the feet of Krishna is the pure devotees of Krishna. And so we want to keep ourselves fit. Some of you here in the room, you know who is Kaladri Prabhu? Some of you know. Some of you don't know. Kaladri Prabhu told the story of these impressions just above, just below the Vyasa sign and above the steps. There's this impression of Srila Prabhupada's feet. Kaladri's the one that took the impression. He described, it's like really a nice story. I can't do it justice, but he traveled all the way to India to meet with Prabhupada along with some others. And he had this soft clay, like molding clay, not the ones you make pots with, but another kind, and requested, "Is it okay?" Prabhupada smiled and agreed. And he held his feet one by one and pressed firmly and gently his feet into this molding clay and held it there. And he like felt electricity running through his body or something, spiritual electricity. And then lifted one foot and then the next foot. And then there was this impression, which is what we have here. And so casts were made of that impression. And we worship. We place, just as this image shows, we place flowers at the lotus feet. We worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master and Krishna, because at Krishna's feet are the spiritual masters or exalted souls. And that helps keep us fit. Fit for what? Fit for carefully chanting. There's a connection between carefully chanting and respecting those who are deliverer of the name that we chant. That's the theme in this class. Mentioned is with enthusiasm. Yeah. The very last part, the bottom of page 9. One should engage with all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna's Sankirtan. So we know, we heard it this morning also, utsahan is necessary. Rupa Goswami teaches, it's one of the 6 principles that must be there for success or progress in spiritual life. So there is often this question, maintaining enthusiasm, how? Well, we discussed, it requires intelligence, but intelligence is given to those who have a strong why. And otherwise, it'll remain a mystery. Or otherwise, it will be unsteady, sometimes and sometimes, and some unsteady. Bhakti. Anishtata bhakti. Unsteady. We're all very familiar with that. The sine curve, ups and downs. And steady enthusiasm requires steady intelligence. It's a gift that Krishna gives to those who really want. And so, here's an image of those who really want. The little bird, or ducklings, and ducks are dependent. So if we're thinking we're independent, which is the material condition, thinking oneself independent of Krishna, to a degree, we all feel the need for some independence. We're part and parcel of Krishna. It's not wrong to feel some independence. We need some autonomy, etc. We need to make decisions in life. And there needs to be dependence. Queen Kunti teaches this, that the highest position is to feel oneself valorous in activity and fully dependent upon the mercy of Krishna. And they're not contradictions. Be enthusiastic and be very humble. They're not contradictions. Although it may sound like go, stop. They're both describing consciousness inside, not the activity outside. Now there's another really long verse that you can take with you and read at your leisure. And that's this verse from Canto 2, Chapter 2, discussion between Shukadeva Goswami, pictured here, and Maharaj Parikshit. And Chapter 2 of Canto 2 is describing the Lord of the heart, fixing consciousness upon the Lord of the heart, Paramatma realization, but through bhakti. And the translation reads, "The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism. And in that status, he merges the material modes of nature in this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization." Now that's like, we're not going to be able to follow the meditation process like this. It's not, Dhyan Yoga or the Ashtanga Yoga system is not for us. But it's a long purport, as you see, and Prabhupada chooses to take that long purport down at the bottom of page 10. Lord Chaitanya therefore made it easier. That's the gift and the giver of the name. And so the rest of the purport is describing this, using Prabhupada's words in his purport, systematic nurturing of the seed of bhakti. Systematic nurturing of the chanting of the holy name, so that the seed of bhakti, which is the chanting is the watering process, the seed will fructify from seed to mature stage. That's what Rupa Goswami is discussing in text 7 of Upadeshamrita. There's a number of places in addition to this particular purport, very lengthy, very detailed, very helpful. You know that all those how-to questions, just read this purport. The how-to is here. And that's, you know, this how to systematically nurture, for example. A similar teaching comes between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Harinam Chintamani. Very wonderful dialogue on how to cultivate this careful chanting process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking, Haridas Thakur is answering on behalf of, like a ventriloquist, the puppet and the puppeteer, having the puppet speak. Haridas Thakur is speaking truths on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is asking the questions. This is a wonderful text written also again by our great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he is giving this same gardener metaphor. Now there's a slide that's out of place. This next slide is showing about Tulsi. But this is the slide. The nurturing is something we often hear in terms of parenting or taking care of small children. But the nurturing of taking care of small children can be paralleled with taking care of the seed of bhakti that we receive from the deliverer of the holy name and deliverer of the process of devotional service. So there's the being nurtured, being grateful to the nurturer, and the nurturer being very careful to be a transparent representative of Lord Chaitanya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another gardening metaphor. It's described in relation to the Gundicha temple, where pictured here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, before the Rath Yatra, they go to the Gundicha temple where Lord Jagannath will stay for 2 weeks at the end of the Grand Road, and they make the place clean. And they make it so clean that it's very inviting for Lord Jagannath to go there, because we want Krishna to reside in our heart. It's got to be clean. Otherwise, why would he want to go to an unclean place? So we make it clean. So there's this extensive description, gardening metaphor description. Bhaktisiddhanta is being quoted, describing the gathering of the dust and the sand and the straws that Lord Chaitanya and his associates gathered and then went through and cleaned again. And he explains the dust represents this and the sand represents that. It has to do with this gardening metaphor. So chanting the holy name is like that. It's sowing the seed or receiving the seed from the deliverer of the seed, the deliverer of the name, and then we take it and we cultivate the seed very, very carefully, carefully chanting, exactly as Rupa Goswami is saying in this verse. And at the bottom of page 11 in the handout sheet that you have, it's not exactly the paraphrase of the 10 offenses, it's a list of 8, but Prabhupada has chosen to go through some important elements in the cultivation, the gardening program. And he starts with, what is the first offense? Offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. Imagine, you have a garden, you spend a lot of time making it nice, and then an elephant is invited into the garden. Squish, squash, finished, devastated. So the devastation of an elephant to a garden is compared to the gardening of the heart, where one makes offenses. And a very nice description that parallels with all of this is found in Lord Kapila's teachings, the Devahuti, chapter 29, follows chapter 28. And 28 speaks about devotional service and how it's pure. So Devahuti asks at the beginning of chapter 29, a nice question. Devotional service is pure, I got it. What if somebody's in the modes of nature? Is devotional service, which is pure, then tainted, at least in terms of consciousness, by the modes of nature? And the answer is yes. And in each one of the three, ignorance, then passion, then goodness, even in goodness, Prabhupada has chosen to translate this word separatist. Separatist. And directly, you don't have those quotes.
Within those verses,
he gives a definition of what is a separatist. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. So, if this is alignment. If the heart, the why, the intention, the sankalpa, doesn't align with Krishna's interest, then it's in the modes of nature. And there's different terminologies that he uses. Bina, drik, and the root word has to do with seeing bina, seeing separately, or pratak, bhava is a mood, pratak, bhava, separatist mood. This is another definition, one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Just spoke it already. So that's a problem. And it's the nature of anyone that's in the material world. Just get a body. Prabhupada once said, the body is a flag. I'm in Maya. I'm in Maya flag. Because Maya means to see separate. Have an interest separate from the Supreme Lord. Then we get a body. Say it the other way. If you didn't have a separate interest, you go back to Godhead. You wouldn't have a body. So, in the Western culture, flag is not such a big deal. It's if you're a nationalist, I guess it's a big deal. You know, in this little shopping center over here, they want to promote Spanish-speaking peoples. They have 10 different flags. This country, that, hey, there's our country. Let's go shop there. The United Nations, Prabhupada would say so many times, every time I go by, there's another flag. Where's the United? United means one flag. Or when Ram, Lakshman, and Sita are up on Chitrakoot, and they see in the distance this whole army coming, Ram says, see, what's the flag that's flying? Because that says which king. It's the flag of the king. There's a certain emblem or insignia or that's, so this is our flag flapping in the wind until the soul leaves the body and then it stops flapping. Kaput in German. Finished. So, having an interest separate from the interest of the Supreme Lord, that's our problem. And that makes chanting carefully difficult. And so we need to align ourselves with the interest of the Lord. That's the bhakti principle, anukulyena krishna anushilanam. And there's many resources that can help us, starting with the teachers and the teachings, and the whole of what Srila Prabhupada had given us in the form of ISKCON, the deities, prasadam. Hey, very powerful. In the past week, I've met three couples. I'm sure the wife is a good cook, but they voluntarily shared, we like going to the temple, have nice prasadam. Now, it's transcendentally nice because it's prepared for Krishna, offered to Krishna. There's spiritual benefit. But they could do that at their home. Prepare for Krishna, offer to Krishna, take Krishna prasadam. But it's nice. Nice to distribute. I like to distribute maha prasadam. When I go to China, I'm going to take a few of those containers of maha prasadam for the Chinese devotees. I'm sure they'll like. So, we have many resources given by through disciplic succession. Primarily, our gratitude goes to our founder, Acharya. And then so many, 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 the previous devotees that, you know, did all the work to create this fantastic altar and Prabhupada's majestic Vyasasan. And here we are, enjoying, you know, what others, the fruit of others' offering of devotion to Krishna. So our gratitude goes to them while we're enjoying, and let our enjoyment be offered to Krishna. Let our all activity be offered to Krishna. In no separate interest. That's the bhakti cultivation. That's part of carefully chanting. It's not just what we do while we're chanting. It's how we address the world around us. Going back to this morning class, starting with seeing the name as the object of our service, and then that carries forward into all of our activities. Tulsi Devi, what did we know in the West? Those of you from India, you certainly know about Tulsi Devi, but we didn't know. And even people from India, what, you know, without going into it, Tulsi's sacred, but they like making Tulsi tea and things like that because it's medicinal, and so we don't do that. Even as medicinal, Prabhupada taught us that an offering is incomplete without placing a Tulsi leaf on each of the preparations, specifically for deity worship. So we have a nice Tulsi house upstairs, and different devotees have taken very good care of Tulsi over the years. Now, what's supposed to come next is that image that got misplaced that was worshiping Tulsi. So tomorrow, we'll have Tulsi in the temple room, and we have our 32-round day. Part of what we're doing today is to help us for tomorrow, and then, of course, future. So bear in mind things that you're hearing that may resonate. It will hopefully help you chant nicely tomorrow. In the purport found on page 11, Prabhupada mentions this systematic nurturing. In relation to the gardening metaphor, but it doesn't have to be just a gardening metaphor, it's how we live our life. It's practically the same as carefully chanting. With attention, with enthusiasm. And so, what's the practical application? Here's this image again of the path of Bhagavad Gita, and the path of Bhagavad Gita properly applied. If we take these messages of carefully chanting, it'll take us to Krishna. One last image and we're done for this session. On the back cover of our Bhagavad Gita as it is a little image of Ralph Waldo Emerson and a statement by him about reading Bhagavad Gita and liking Bhagavad Gita. So he and Henry David Thoreau, they're like famous people. I was a little surprised when I met a college student that said, "Oh, I like the transcendental poetry of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau." And I said, I didn't know anybody read poetry anymore. I thought it's like, you know, IT and you got to be practical, right? What uses transcendental poetry of? So anyway, when Ralph Waldo Emerson, this little story, when he was 69, he and his son were living on a farm property, and they were trying to get a young calf into the barn. And the calf was being stubborn. The calf wouldn't move. So They both got on one side, the other side, and started pushing. They got the rope and started pulling and pushing, and the calf was not going anywhere. As they were doing this, a lady, a maidservant type of lady, saw what their labor and smiled, held up her finger, went over to a bowl that had salt, put her finger in the salt, held up her finger, put the finger in front of the little calf, and just held it out in front of his mouth, and his tongue went out, and he went step by step into the barn. And the purpose of telling that story is, it's a lot easier to become attracted to the holy name than to push the mind to the holy name. The taste, this nama rasa, awakening nama rasa, is where we want to go. So trying to push the mind there, arduous. We do because it's a duty, but we want to go beyond that standard to the standard of becoming attracted. And we're hearing some messages for those that say how to. It's like abundant question, how to. The material that you have in your handout is giving us the how to, and the messages are telling us how to. There's elements to carefully chanting. So I'm just going to repeat the themes and then see if there's discussion. 2 points from this morning. Chant the name in the mood of service to the name and cultivate that every day. 2. To do that, practically speaking, it requires a kind of a quantum leap or a shift of understanding that the name and Krishna are the same. It's an abstraction of close your eyes and imagine that you're serving the name. The name, the two syllables we heard in that song, Krishna descended in the form of the syllables, these dual syllables, Krishna. Krishna descended, it's his form, in the form of these two syllables. So, the name and the person are non-different, and serve the name. That was this morning's class. And now it's chanting carefully has different elements, but one of the major parts is the deliverer of the name. To chant carefully, we need the mercy of the deliverer of the name, ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that the name doesn't have potencies, standing alone. The name is independent, as Krishna is independent. We need the mercy of the deliverer of the name. And so we connect with and offer prayers to and worship the luminous lotus feet of the deliverer of the name so that the heart awakens to receive the name, and the transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Lord becomes awakened when we have that disposition of heart. It's knowledge that's already there. It's just by the luminosity of the name and the mercy of the lotus feet of Krishna, the name, and the spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then truths become understood, which previously we couldn't understand. It's a mystical process in one sense, and it's a practical process in another sense. So those are the points of emphasis in these two classes, in a quick mini summary. So any discussion or comments? Yeah. Jamuna Jivana, put your hand up again.
Thank you. Gurumars,
our sound man is doing a good job. Thank you. You're doing a good job. Thank you. Yes.
So the image of this birds, wingless baby birds, reaching out for the Lord, reaching out for their mother. In Prabhupada's words, he would say, like a baby crying out to its mother.
Yes.
And, you know, from a material standpoint, there seems to be some degree of dichotomy versus this idea of, please engage me in your service, or where it's, I have some capacity that I'd like to use for your service, versus I have absolutely no capacity. Please do, you know, completely nurture me. So that I understand this, I recognize this, a material way of looking at it.
So what's your question?
My question is how to reconcile it. What's the spiritual view of them?
They're both spiritual. Just different moods of spiritual. There's variegatedness of the spiritual world. So one can feel Krishna's been very kind. He's given some resource, something. I can sing, or I can dance, or I can draw, or I can, you know, do accounting, or I can paint a wall, or I can scrub a floor, or I can wash some pots, or I can design a temple, I'm an architect, or, you know, what Krishna's given some ability. Let me acknowledge this is ability that Krishna's given that we offer in Krishna's service. Or, way over on the other side, I don't have anything to offer. I'm helpless. A wingless bird. It's a mood. Everyone has something. But someone may feel, you know, I'm destitute. It's reality is everyone has something, but someone may have that mood. I don't have anything of worth because it's all contempt. Yeah, there's different moods. My consciousness is so contaminated, how could I offer something because my consciousness, but still, please accept me. So it's different moods. Is that all right? Okay. Diversity in the spiritual world. What?
In the 11.11.47, that verse that you quoted.
You like it?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Mm-hmm. So the ending of that verse has got sadhu sevaya in that.
Has where?
In the ending of that verse.
The ending.
Has got sadhu sevaya as the phrase. Which we can also take it as by serving the lotus feet of the sadhus, one can get the realized knowledge. So essentially the sadhu sevaya is translated as excellent quality of service that one can get realized knowledge. But sadhu sevaya can also be understood to be worship, to serve the sadhus. One can get the... I'm just trying to see whether the same verse can be understood in that way.
Sure, why not? That's it?
I just observed. It's just an observation.
Sure. You have something?
No.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about the point of importance of receiving the holy name through disciplic succession.
Yes.
On that point, could you please stress on the importance of the invocation prayers that we chant before the chanting of the holy name?
Importance of what?
Invocation prayers.
Invocation prayers?
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, before we start doing the mantra.
You've already done it.
Can you stress the importance of...
It's important. Mm-hmm. we what's inside is most important. The external exhibition of something doesn't have the same effectiveness unless it's inside. It can be ritualistic. So what's important is what's inside. You understand what I'm saying? That we're the recipient of some mercy, and therefore we call upon Mangala Charana or even just Sri Krishna Chaitanya, etc., because they're so merciful. And one of the major contemplations that I've been going through in preparing for this particular festival of the Holy Name is we need to go beyond. There's nothing wrong with the ritual, but we need to go beyond the ritual. We need to go to an internal cultivation to go further in the bhakti process, including chanting. So, it's important. And it's what's most important is the internal submission, not necessarily the external exhibition of that submission. Yes.
Thank you. I'm trying to process this point that you're making, I think.
Which one?
Just the whole class.
Okay.
I find essence is like developing a personal relationship.
Yes.
With the spiritual master helps you develop a personal relationship with the Holy Name.
Yes.
And also my experience serving Tulsi is similarly, it's like uprooting all my impersonalism, because on the material consciousness, we just see everything as objects, and we're the center. Whereas serving Tulsi Maharani or serving the spiritual master starts developing there's personal conception, a spiritual conception that people, the soul exists of other people, but we're so conditioned just in our dream of seeing us in the center and material objects. So I was just sharing that.
That's fine. We're given so many opportunities. Those are two wonderful ones. So many opportunities to go beyond our conditioning and contamination and impersonalism. You know, we're a little slow, but because we're very conditioned, but the potency is there. We're very fortunate. Very fortunate. Come together in a temple where, who knows, you know, decades worth of sacrifice has been rendered to give us what we have. And there's some new ones that are going to start over there and going to start over there. And so it's just getting just underway where there's nothing, and then there's going to be something. And then it's, you know, so it's, we're the recipients of, that's another, you know, where is Jitendri? Is he here? You know, decades of service Jitendri has offered to help keep this building in shape. It's an old building. It requires lots. Take the boiler. It's a dinosaur. And every year it keeps going. Anyway, so, you know, great soul. You know, he's got his nature. But, you know, great soul. and so many other persons, and the years of pujaris that have come and gone and served the deities, some not so nicely, some really nicely, and, you know, anyway. So now we're just given the opportunity. The Krishna lunch, you did some of that. There's a nice opportunity for service too. And the, you know, the transformational experience of people who receive prasadam, receive books, receive the holy name and Hari knowledge. So there's so many opportunities that just mercy filled. So attention needs to go to those who are, that my message here is the deliverers of that mercy, along with the object. Okay. Here's a question over here.
Maharaj, you were speaking about those five steps, like Yojana, Sambandha, Seva, Vipralamba and Sharanagati. So the translation of Seva, like on the slide it says, it's chanting in mood of service, and Vipralamba says chanting in the right mood. So I was trying
those
to
those are just cut and paste of Sachinandan Swami's words. If you want, even if you don't want, I'll forward to you his little bulletin, and then he unpacks it, because it's his language. So you're looking for, this seems to be that, and so how are they different?
It seems like it's more deepening of the mode of service.
I'll forward to you his little bulletin, and you can go through it. It's language, and use of language is important to understand from the person who wrote it. I'll forward to you. It's nice. Anyone else?
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned like purity is that Krishna should be pleased.
Krishna should be pleased.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in context to chanting, we have so many chanting blocks, and at our stage, it is not easy to perceive Nama Prabhu as Krishna, you know.
So yes.
how we can strive for this purity? Like in Sankirtana, it is easy. You follow your Sankirtan leader. But when you chant, and there are chanting blocks.
Well, there's cultivation. How to is the question. And there's cultivation. The how to requires faith and proper instruction and the willingness to bring, because of faith, the proper instruction inside. And it doesn't go inside quickly because we're covered. So it requires cultivation. And it requires proper conceptions. And we get proper conceptions from the right teachers. So we're going to spend some more time on the name and the person named are non-different. But those are just instructions, just more weight of good instructions, transcendental instructions. You'll see this evening. Transcendental instructions on the non-difference. Now, your point was well taken. It's not easy because we're conditioned. We conceive of form. I was going to speak about it. I'll say it again tonight. We speak of form in a way that we're accustomed to thinking and seeing and experiencing form. Like I see you on the other side of the room seated in a chair. That's form. And then, you know, we have, let's say, three other forms. There's the deity form, there's the Bhagavatam form, and there's the name form. Those are different than what we're conditioned to experience. But that with faith, the Bhagavatam, you know, that's the literary form of Krishna. It looks to me like, you know, by material sense and inspection and interpreting the senses with the mind, I don't see form. So we have to see in a different way. The deity similarly and the name similarly. So how to, is your question, it's proper conceptions with some power behind it because of the purity. Purity is the force. And then there has to be some willingness to hear. We're going to hear about hearing tomorrow morning. The ear is more powerful than the mind. No, now the mind rules. He is chief. He's the king. He's the emperor. He rules. And if the mind says XYZ, it's XYZ. And the mind is influenced by sense perception and with how the scientists interpret sense perception. Even though the scientists know, it's like a very fundamental rule. According to your conception, you'll perceive according to your perception, your conceptions. You'll see the same data as another scientist differently because of the conception that you're carrying. You'll see something they don't see, they'll see something you don't see, although it's the same data. It's very simple. So the mind rules. What's it like when the mind doesn't rule? Is, you know, and how to get there? It, by hearing. And the ear is more powerful. The ear can conquer the mind. The rule, the emperorship of the mind. It'll pay obeisances. But you have to be able to hear. In ways that we're speaking about, with attentiveness, regularly, from the right source, with faith. And then that hearing is so powerful, it can evaporate the mind. It could just like the material mind dissolves and pays obeisances and disappears. We still have a mind, but a spiritual mind. So that's gradual. That the how-to is gradual, but we have to have the elements in place. So that's what we're here for. Continue to be patient, continue to be acting, and bhakti is a continual realignment of where we are with where the goal is and what the goal is and how to get from where we are to the goal. It's going to be refined all the time if the light's on. That's the how-to. Cultivation by primarily the hearing process. Hearing then touches the heart and transforms the heart. We'll hear some more.
I have a part two question also.
Part two.
Yeah. So, as I hear, mercy of Krishna is like, it is not like after the purification we will reach our goal, which is Krishna. Or service to Krishna.
It depends on Krishna. It's all on Krishna's mercy. Go ahead.
So, but his mercy is right now also me.
He's ready.
So it is my impurity. Okay. Thank you.
That's the nature of love. And he is the perfect bestower and giver of love. We're not. We're quite imperfect in too many ways. But he's not imperfect. And that requires some faith. And to nourish the faith requires proper hearing from the right source in the right mode. Chanting carefully as we're speaking about. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, a couple of devotees that texted questions.
Somebody online?
Two people online.
Two people, okay.
One of them is my wife.
Okay.
She has... Maharaj, you were speaking about how that we have some need for autonomy.
Yeah.
At the same time being dependent. So how do we make sure we don't over-exercise the need for autonomy?
Be cautious. And get Krishna's mercy. Better to err on the side of caution than exerting autonomy too much, because that's a territory that we have an addiction for, material addiction for. So move forward cautiously. I'm like driving a car. It's a powerful machine. So when you start driving a car, you don't drive like, you know, a race car driver. We drive cautiously. And even when you become proficient at driving, you don't drive like a race car driver. You drive cautiously. Because you know, there's deaths on the highway. And there's other people that are, you know, not so cautious. So you drive defensive driving. So just with caution, knowing the greater risk is self-delusion and turning away from Krishna in the name of I need autonomy. So move forward cautiously. And keep asking Krishna. And she can ask you too. Hari Bol Shri Radhika. She was really happy to hear that last one. Go ahead.
Other devotee is from Dallas, Neeraj. He asks, how is chanting devotional service?
Well, we spent a whole class discussing. So he can listen to the morning class. In principle, the name is Krishna. So if we're calling Krishna's name, we're serving Krishna. It's a form of service. It's sound vibration worship. Just like chanting mantra. It's worship of the person who is being named. We're worshiping the name by chanting. It's a particular type of worship. It's a particular type of service. It's worship. Just like our pujari here. When he's making an offering, he's going to offer mantras to approach the deity through mantra. So it's worship, service. There's some other additional and important external things, additional things, but it's through sound, worship. Okay. We'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.